It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is time to Ask Dustin and Andy, which is brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for the best barbecue around. Andy, you were here for our Christmas party.
Yep.
How was the barbecue from the guys?
Fantastic. I also purchased a bunch of the wine gift boxes. I think those are fantastic as well. You get some rub, some wine, give them away as a gift. I picked up some extra sauce and rubs for myself when I got to see Andrew. For the best rubs and sauces and tailgating catering barbecue, 409tailgateclub.com.
I'll say a couple of things about them. I like those guys a lot. I do. And not just because one of them looks exactly like me.
He does.
It's true, but it's not why. The other thing I'll say is when we had the event at the winery, at the Freeze Farm Winery.
In Berwick.
My daughter ate four chicken wings with the 409 Tailgate Club rub on it. She has never eaten a chicken wing before that, and she hasn't eaten a chicken wing after that. So that says something to me.
There you go. Autumn endorses it.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to pay her for that endorsement now?
Yeah, we're really trying to use her to make money for us.
All right.
It's just good parenting.
It is. All right. Let's move on. It's time to ask some questions. This is our Citrus Bowl version.
Oh, boy.
Here we go, guys. First one. This is from Michael and Lidditz. Surprise, surprise. That was me. Special teams have been a disaster all year, now especially in the bowl game. Generally speaking, what causes a unit to go backwards? And more specifically, should the special teams coach be fired?
Yes, to the second part. Unfortunately, I hate to be calling for a guy's head, but that is earned. The lack of confidence is something that is would be pervasive over the season. I think the inability to get the players to feel confident in what you are telling them to do manifested itself on game days, blocked field goals, missed field goals, kickoffs out of bounds. The coach doesn't tell the kicker to go kick the kickoff out of bounds, but he tells them to angle it, and then the kicker angles it the wrong way and kicks it out of bounds. You know, kick returns for a touchdown. Remember, you know, throughout the season, teams coming up with, you know, trick plays on punts and field goals and stuff. Iowa, did Iowa run two or three sort of trick plays to get, you know, to get Penn State? So it's that lack of confidence in what you're doing to me that starts with the top, goes through the executors. Well, there's coaching and then there's the players execute. There's a hierarchy there. It starts up top, runs through the players. Lack of confidence, I think, is the biggest thing in what they're being told and asked to do. They aren't able to execute consistently, and then it just starts a spiral.
So unlike the offense or the defense, where you as a coordinator of those units have a lot of freedom and creativity and you're calling things based on different looks, your job on special teams outside of, you know, these handful of occasions where you're faking, you know, I know you're trying to accomplish different things on kickoffs and punts and where you're trying to pin them, where you're trying to angle it. I get all that. But this is an execution game. You know, that's the execution phase. You execute on the straightforward job that you have. So if you do not execute better in, I say week 13, but if you add in the few extra weeks of practice, you know, we're really talking about, to not execute any better from week one to the bowl game, it does fall on the coaching. That's your job on special teams, is to execute. You know, the job isn't cute. It isn't a finesse game. It isn't a creativity game. Your job is to go out there and execute. And if the guys on all the units are not executing, then that trail has to lead back to somewhere. And I'm not going to sit here and get on the soapbox and talk about firing Phil Galliano, but you have to change either everything you're doing or you got to get somebody new in there. You know, you have to assess everything. Changes need to be made on special teams. And I'm not just talking about firing the coach. You need to figure out why all your guys are not executing up to par.
All right, let's move on to the next question here, guys.
All righty.
Robert from Wall, New Jersey asks, will Penn State ever be a put a hand in the ground and beat you kind of team under James Franklin? It seems time and time again when we need a first down to finish a game or we need a stop when a team's trying to milk the clock, we just can't get it. Obviously, he's talking about making the stop in the Citrus Bowl game.
So Penn State's always going to have a little bit of that finesse feeling because of the way they run their offense, because they don't plow ahead. They don't use a fullback. It's not really in their personality to be that hand in the dirt, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So I understand the essence of the question. I think it's a mischaracterization to say that Penn State can't be physical, though. I just think of all the things that you knew Penn State had to transition into this season, building up and beefing up and making a more dominant defense is still something that they're in the transition. They're in development right now. You know, to lose what they lost right up the middle of the defense, it's just not in their strength right now to be a smother the run type of defense. And I think under all the circumstances, I felt like the defense did a really good job this year for the most part, delivering in those big situations. I think at the end of the Citrus Bowl, you know, that was just the only strength that Kentucky had was lining up, being powerful and physical, running right at you and seeing if you could stop it. And to not be able to slow that down, it's disappointing. It was going to be the make or break point in that game no matter what. But it's also that's Kentucky through and through. And to lose that kind of battle of philosophies against Kentucky isn't exactly a big strike against Penn State.
Yeah, the hand in the ground thing is – it's twofold for me. One is they run out of the shotgun offensively, but they're not built for that anymore. Their best players are better in space, right? And even for the most part defensively, because they haven't developed fully across the front yet, I think when other teams are trying to get into space, Penn State's at its best. Micah Parsons, you know, Amani O, Tariq Castro Fields, Garrett Taylor. Think about how well those guys play in space defensively. But I just, you know, offensively, their best guys are the same way, better in space. So they're never going to be a hand in the ground type team that's going to sort of churn out a game like that. I mean, look at how good Ettore Gross-Matos was down the stretch of the regular season, but he had zero impact on this game because he's still got another level of development to come. He was a zero tackles and impact. Oh, by the way, he faced a really good athletic and strong left tackle from Kentucky, but Kentucky's offense was brunt force trauma straight at you, and that's not where Etor's at yet. He's going to get there, though, but I just don't think Penn State's built like that anymore.
I got a couple extra thoughts here. Number one, what are the two positions that were most disrupted in the recruiting process in the early part of James Franklin's tenure? Linebacker and defensive tackle.
Right.
Right? And so part of the flow of roster building here is that you knew – this was really not a bottoming out, so to speak, but you knew this was going to be a thin year for both those positions, and those are both the hand in the dirt type positions. And I forget what point number two was, but that's enough.
That's good enough. You, one point is as good as anybody else's 2 points.
Oh, here's the other point. In this day and age in college football, well, if you had to choose one or the other, sometimes, you know, it's a push and a pull. The future of college football and beating elite teams in college football, you have to defend space. And the best teams don't have to compromise their ability to put their hand in the dirt and win. Yep. You're Clemson, you're Alabama. That's what makes them so much better than everybody else is they can do it both ways. They can be physical. They can defend space. I think Franklin's recruiting has erred towards guys who defend space more so than are powerful and physical in the box.
And you mentioned defensive line and linebacker as the places affected by the recruiting. I would add offensive line, another group, hand in the dirt type, that was affected by it. All right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by 409 Tailgate Club, where great barbecue meets great wine. You're listening to us from the Labatt Blue Studio. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
All right. I'm going to put two questions together here. Jeremy from Wilmington and Steve from Howard both want to know about that Franklin kicking the field goal on fourth down at the end of the game. Jeremy says, what difference does it make if you give up the ball either way after a field goal or on downs? And Steve says, essentially, what are you thinking? He just disagrees with the logic. He knows what Franklin was thinking on the field goal.
Yeah, there's mathematics and analytics that say kick a field goal and you still need a touchdown to win the game. It's, to me, it comes down to feel versus plan and process and analytics. And everything, you know, to me, I understand why he kicked it. I'm with you, Dustin. But everything to me, and I'm not down on the field, I was watching on TV, but everything said to me was where Penn State was in that game and the momentum that they had with three timeouts, with Trace McSorley bringing you back with a broken foot and you making that decision to go for him, I'm like, give him a crack. Let him try. And if they don't get it on fourth down, I still think Penn State's in a difficult spot because they have to face Kentucky doing what Kentucky does best. But I would have liked the odds a little better than kicking a field goal and letting them have a reset. And I would have liked them having the ball at the 15 rather than the 25. It's 10 yards, but it just feels different to me. It's that feel thing that I think is missing, and the momentum thing, because I really think it handed it back to them. And I still... Kentucky's probably going to run it out anyway because that's what they do well.
This was a classic feel versus what the data says you should do, because I do think the data says you should kick the field goal. You close within 3 points. It just opens up another avenue where you don't have to be perfect. If you do get the ball back, you don't have to drive 80 yards. You got to drive 45 yards instead. So from that standpoint, I get it. But this is a special sort of exemption because – You took the ball out of Trace McSorley's hands in a crushing loss to Ohio State. You had the opportunity to right that wrong. You had the opportunity to give Trace McSorley one more shot at a moment, you know? And I think as many of those moments as you can accumulate over the course of a career and a season, you got to do it. Think about what he did to this point, leading them back into this game. Give him a chance on fourth down, and let's see if we can create another signature moment on a broken foot. He never got that chance. He didn't get to touch the ball again. I think that's why people regret it.
I agree. All right, we need a winner.
I think you have to go with Michael and Lititz. Your special teams are – they set the table for everything that happened in this football game and the problem at – some of the problems that Penn State had to deal with throughout it were all directly tied back into the special team. So I'm going with Michael and Lititz. Good question.
All right, Michael's the winner. We're going to be right back and tie a bow on the Citrus Bowl. Stick with us.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.